I want to thank you for all the comments and the prayers that was given up for my cousin Sharon up in West Virginia. She sends her love down. I'm hoping to get her to come down here. I know her children wants her to move to Portland, Oregon, to be with them. But hopefully maybe we can get her down here before she might decide to do that. So, but she's a true West Virginia girl. I know it's going to be hard for her to leave. But while I was there, it's just good to see family. I've got some incredible people that are dealing with battles in a physical way that that stay hopeful, stay happy, and just lean on God getting through things like that. My cousin Ron, I shared during the celebration of life, was always concerned about us, always concerned because of our family and our needs and the uniqueness of our family. And he had always kind of challenged me. I will have to say, I mean, I really appreciate Jerry's prayer about words of comfort. But you know, when words of challenge come from a family member, it is comforting, you know. But so hopefully what we can do this morning, because as we hear Jesus challenge us, that we'll find comfort in it. Sometimes people don't equate comfort with challenge. But my cousin always did me. He had always challenged me. He said, "Now, Kevin, you need to watch your health." And he would go down through this whole thing about, because your family needs you, you need to watch your health, you need to take care of yourself. Now, there's going to be things about our health we can't control. But you do your job to make sure that you present your temple as a worship. Well, I struggle with that from time to time because I find comfort in other things. And so I had a quick question, though. When it comes to physical health, and if you just had to come up with three things that would help us with our temple, what would they be? What are some of the areas that we need to deal with to be healthy physically?
Diet.
What's that? How dare you say that? That brings no comfort at all. Okay. No, but diet, very serious about that. My doctor's very serious about that. He can say it because he's in shape. But your diet, okay? Anything else?
You are what you eat.
I'm sorry?
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat. Okay, so we're still talking diet there. And that... Exercise. What's that? Okay. Not extra size. Okay. It's not exercise it when you go through McDonald's. It's exercise. Okay. Oh, I've been missing that mark for so long. So we understand that. We need exercise. I realize as we get older, we'll find any excuse in the world not to exercise, but there are things that you can do that I used to do at 24, I can't do. But there are some things we still can do. Brother Jerry, how old are you? Yeah.
I don't have
you don't have any idea. Well, if you had to guess, how old are you? 72. Okay. He had one thing that my cousin did, because that's the age of my cousin, 72 years old. But he probably should not have lived to 72. His health, because he had a heart disease, had been on a transplant list at Cleveland Clinic for over 20 years. And there's been some situations back in his 50s we thought, well, there's no way he'd ever make it through. But there's one thing that Brother Jerry does is he walks. And he walks, and he walks, and he walks. I think 3 miles a day is roughly about what he puts in. My cousin swam laps at a pool and everything. So there's something that we can do because we think that exercise is very important to us. Diet is very important to us. We're missing one thing, though.
Sleep.
What's that?
Good sleep.
Rest. Woohoo! I'm glad somebody came up with that one. Rest. Now, that brings you comfort, right? Diet and exercise is a challenge. Rest is comforting. And so we need to have that because that's what our body needs as you stay healthy physically. What about spiritual health? You know, really, yeah, go ahead, Matt. Okay, so a lot of your physical health is connected to some spiritual health too, right? All right. Again, we're not talking about stuff that's out of our control. We're talking about stuff that we can add to our life to be healthier. And the thing is that I think if we really look at it, rest, diet, and exercise in spiritual ways is the same as we would say is important in a physical way. But I think sometimes what we get caught up into, we get into spiritual laziness as easy as we get into physical laziness. Okay? And so we need to kind of examine, because what we're going to do is we're going to listen to Jesus this morning and what's really important, because he's asking us to join him on a journey. So in 2018, we've been talking about this God-centered life to this point. And the key to live a God-centered life is a Jesus Christ-centered life or Jesus Christ-centered living. So we need to set God-centered priorities in our life, and we're going to hear more words about, well, here's the way we can do this rest, diet, exercise in a spiritual way, is an upward, inward, outward type of relationship with God. Now, you really think about it, rest should be involved in our upward relationship with God. Okay, so I got four things in your notes that you write down. What can we do? How do we create spiritual health in our life? Well, it starts with number one, relationships. As Matt is saying, is it starts out with God. Now, right now, to find a quiet, restful time with God, the teens are going through some exercises, training themselves how to have quiet time in their life, where they just choose a place, they choose a time, and they have a series of scriptures. Right now, they're going through 40 days of prayer and looking at examples of prayer in scripture. We got it all lined out for them each day so that they can sit down. They don't have to guess. They don't just have to hodgepodge it. They got an outline for them. And the challenge is finding the place and taking the time. Why? Because rest in relationship with God is very important to their spiritual health. They need to be alone with God. What's faith anyways? Thanks, Matt, last week for preaching about the faith factor. It's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. So when you pick a place and you pick a time and nobody else is around and you're praying and you're reading to listen to God say something to you in the reading, isn't that faith in action? Because you're sure and you have hope in something you cannot see. And so it's a great, so finding rest with God is slowing down. And what did God say? Be still and know I am God. And if you're not practicing quiet time on a daily basis, I suggest that you find some rest. It'll be very important for your spiritual health. And pick a time. And I gotta remember, I have to mention, is that first time I ever heard or even knew somebody was practicing a quiet time, I thought they were freaky. You're that dedicated? I thought you just go to church. You let the scripture reading happen while you're together and somebody gets up front. You let the praying happen from the older men that know how to pray because I don't know what to say to God. Open up your heart, take a deep breath, and have your restful time with God. And let Him speak to you in the passages that you read. So that it can create spiritual health. The second one we said, diet. First of all, you got to be in the Word. You know, but diet to me is that, oh, it's the first part of an action that you can do in order to gain health in your life. And I almost kind of look at diet as that diet in relationship with one another. You got other believers. So it's not freaky to talk about God to other people who believe in God. Right? To have a relationship with other believers who really want to have God in their life, you can talk about God all day long and how great He is and all that, and it's not weird. It's not strange. It's not foreign. Okay, now we're not talking about facts here. Facts need to lead us to faith and to action. And that's why we need to have a diet of relationship with each other. Now, here's where you can practice as well. Number two in your underline, it's your relationship in your marriage we went over. How to have a God-centered life is to follow Jesus in our relationship in our marriage and function as one, as a unit, as God created us to be. Then, number three, relationship with our family, where parents are taking responsibility in teaching their children the Deuteronomy 6 type of teaching, where you talk about God, you sit down and talk about God, you get up and you talk about God. Make sure before your children go off to school that you say something about God. It might be just saying, take God with you today, honey, while you're walking the hallways at the high school. Know that God is near. Know that God is there. When you're troubled and somebody might make fun of you and you feel cut down, God's there and He loves you. Remind them. Show them verses. Put verses on the bathroom counter where they're reading verses on a daily basis as they're whatever young lady's do in the bathroom for an hour. But have verses there so they can read them and see them and think about them. And then the relationship with Christ's people. That's that diet. The called out ones. The ones who are taking it seriously. That they hear the voice of God to the point. And again, when I say that, I know that some of us are like, oh boy, he's gone off the deep end. I'm not talking about audible. I'm talking about inward. God's trying to speak to us inwardly. He's trying to get inside your mind because He wants you to love Him with all your mind. He wants you to have Him a part of all of your actions, all your strength, your process, your words that you speak, the attitudes that you have. And you got other Christ people right here to do a diet with. I found out this. When you live in a family that doesn't have to diet like you do, it's very hard to stay on a diet. You know why? Because you need encouragement to diet. You need to practice dieting with other people. Okay? I don't know. I mean, I even heard churches doing Zumba classes together. I can imagine some of us how we are. I'd like to see Bob do Zumba, really. I will just sit back and just have some fun with that. But I'll join in. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, things like that, doing things together. Practice some spiritual, healthy principles together with other believers. Another believer should never think of another believer as being weird if they're trying to practice the principles of God. Never. Now, that might go past your commitment that you've had for a while, and it'll make you feel discomfort, because you know you haven't dieted correctly and rested correctly. I've got an appointment, Lord's willing, on April 4th to re-meet up with my doctor to check on my health. Now, I can either go in regretting what I'm going to hear, or I can prepare right now to be working on something that we could talk about where he can encourage me to keep it up. I got a choice. And that's the same thing with Christ's people. And then exercise. Wow, exercise. I kind of look at exercise is that you take God's word and you go out and you use it. It becomes a part of an action. It becomes a part of a challenge. Like usually what I did was if I wanted to start running, you start out walking before you start running. Okay, and definitely, I mean, I'm watching the Olympics, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, they didn't just get up off the couch and do that. They had to start from maybe a slow pace up to a great pace, and they have the right diet, they have the right kind of rest, and they get to the point to where they can participate in the Olympics. Well, didn't we hear in Scripture from the Apostle Paul that says, you know, this Christian life thing? Run in it like you're running a race that you want to win and you want to finish. And I've always heard we need to finish strong. Doesn't matter if you're from first, second, or third, or fourth, and all that competition stuff. Finish strong. The joy of a believer that's been a believer and a follower for 50 years of Jesus Christ should be a lot more joy than what it was from the first day they even heard about Christ because of what they're finding out about Christ and how they're promoting Christ in their life. So I want to look at this important connection. Now, two times in the gospel, God's voice spoke about Jesus, his son, right? Now, you find it in four different areas, but at Jesus' baptism, you got Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3. Actually, the voice of God speaks to and about his son. And then, now, listen to Peter here, that was with Jesus as an eyewitness when they went up on the mountainside. Listen to his words. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 18. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now get that. Get what are we saying? We didn't have this clever story that somebody told us about Jesus in his coming to this earth. We were with him. We saw his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father. Guess when? When the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So he's just saying, I was with Jesus when he went up on this mountain. He took us up on the mountain, and then I witnessed this. And you can read about it. But God voiced, "This is my son. I love him, and in him I am well pleased." Now, here's where you need to take it personally. Does God love you? How do we witness that? Well, I mean, see it. We got to see it by faith in things that we cannot see. But this is not a clever story because there's witnesses around it. But Jesus went to the cross for you. Like Larry described when we're talking about giving up their life, and very rarely we do for a righteous man. But a wicked man? Wow. Well, that's what he did. And so he went to the cross for us. And so Jesus is showing us an example for us to follow. My question is, really, Kevin, when you get up on any day or end on any day, do you want to be in a relationship with God where you would be able to hear him voice, "This is Kevin, my son, and in him I am well pleased"? Can you think of any other words from any other being that you would want that to be voiced? God the Almighty. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and say, I don't think God would be too pleased with me. Let me tell you, God can be pleased with you. But it's not by your own power. It's by your choice in following his son. If you follow Jesus and practice him, God will be well pleased with you. And you can have that sense of strength. Now the question is, right now, am I following him? Am I actually following him? See, here's Jesus' life purpose, was living a life pleasing to the Father and being obedient to his will. Look at these passages. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." This is right before his crucifixion. He's talking about, if there's another way to take the suffering away from me, that's what I'm asking. If it would be your will for that burden, that cup, that suffering, that shedding of the blood, the flogging, the hanging on the cross, if you're willing, would you take that away? "But it's not my will, it's yours be done." Yes, I would prefer not have to go through the suffering, but I'm willing to go through the suffering because if it's your will. That's a grand attitude to have, isn't it? He says, when he tells the disciples, when there was food that was already presented to the crowd, they were wondering where he got it. He says, "Well, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." That's what makes Jesus live. That's why he came. Yes, does he need food to sustain his physical body? Yes. But where his whole life's purpose in living is found in, "I came down here and what I eat upon is to do the will of the Father." Is that your diet? I think it will be if we become disciples. Disciple, and we'll get to that in just a minute. I think it's a word that we need to use more. I believe it's a word that we need to understand, and it's word that we need to practice. Okay? So, "For," now look at John 6, 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." So you have that. That's Jesus' life. That's why God could say, "I am well pleased with him." Now, what if we adopted that same attitude? What if we adopted the same words and said, "You know, my life is not about me. My life is about finding the will of the Father and doing it." Don't you think it would end up being that God could say, "I'm well pleased with you"? When you have that. as a commitment in your life. It's obvious from these passages that Jesus lived a God-centered life. God was the basis for all of Jesus' decisions and the center around in which his life revolved. Now, how would you like that voice to say, "I'm well pleased"? We can, but how? I believe it happens here. We got to get on board the discipleship. What will mark us as a disciple? How can somebody say they are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, it's not about what you put on your sign outside the building. It's about your life that's marked by being a disciple of Jesus. Now, first of all, we need to know what the words mean, so you can fill in the blank here. And then I'm going to read a passage in Corinthians. Christian, defined, is a believer in Jesus Christ and his teachings. Now, Christian's not used in Scripture that much. That's okay. It really means Christ follower. It's going to be so connected. It's supposed to overlap. It's just a different way to present it. But boy, Christian nowadays seems to be so a word that everybody uses, and everybody gets more confused with it. We say Christian, and we're like, well, what does that mean? Well, you got to do this, you got to do this. You got to belong to this group. Well, no, this is the better group. This is it. And you get into all this confusion around the word, and we're not, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the things that he's teaching. Okay? Now, here's disciple, a follower and a learner of the teacher. Okay, now here's where we get caught up sometimes in our academic mindset. We put Jesus in the classroom, and he's got a chalkboard, or now what, we got PowerPoint. And Jesus explains things, then just walks away and just says, okay, see you next week, be here at 10:30. Jesus did not teach that way. Jesus walks beside them, interrupts their life, and says, follow me. Jesus shows them life. They get to hear his teachings because he teaches people. He teaches humans. They're absorbing by their diet. They see Jesus resting with God when he goes up on the mountainside to pray. And you see him exercising because he came down to do the will of the Father, and he came down to seek and save, not to condemn. And so he says, why don't you follow me in that? Come on. Just come and follow. That's where we have to take the word disciple and make it a following, not just a factual listening. James will tell you, don't deceive yourself by listening to the words of Jesus and God and then do nothing. Don't just go to a classroom and sit and gain a whole bunch of facts and see you next week. Put them into practice. What better way to put it into practice when you're trying to diet that you have other dieting people dieting with you? Why? Because people who follow Jesus need other people around them that are following Jesus so you can encourage each other to keep on following Jesus. The discipleship. Okay? So, somehow, here's our challenge, is our busy life. How can we get our other Christians involved in our busy life about doing the Father's business? I think we can do it. I don't know so much when you know, because I have people just kind of look at me when I say, well, we need to get the busyness out of your life. What? We can't live in this culture without being busy. So then, why don't we add other believers to our busy life? And then in our busy life, be about the Father's business. Why can't we do that? Get more connected. Get to know each other. Get to share with each other. Get to encourage one another. Because when you love somebody, you get to know them, you get to see what their struggles are, you're there for them. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to split this one into two sermons, okay? We're going to come back next week and talk about three areas of Jesus' life that we can be a disciple in, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip over some of that, be ready for the outline. But I want you to hear this passage. If you want to go here, go here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Now, this is back at the Lord's gone on to heaven. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, this is very key. This is a very humbling passage because it talks about a responsibility for what we are doing in our life. We're either going to follow Jesus in His goodness that is godliness, or we continue to follow Satan and his evil desires and his schemes. Right? Now, all of us are going to be tempted. All of us are going to struggle. But we have a Lord that was dragged off into a wilderness after his baptism and was tempted. And the Bible tells us, God tells us, look, I let Jesus be tempted in every way that you're going to be tempted. You know why? Because I wanted to show you the life and the power that you can say no to evil and yes to good and overcome it. I can give that to you, but it's your choice. It's your decision. That's why I need relationships. You know, have you ever wondered why Jesus chose people? I thought he would have brought more angels down. Hey, guys, hey, humans, watch them. And then we're going to say, yeah, but they're not human. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, lived, rested, dieted, and exercised so that we could follow Him, so that we could have spiritual health too. Now, what church leaders are called to do is give the avenues in those three areas for you as disciples to be involved in. You have to decide if you'll involve yourself in it. Jesus came and asked the guys to follow him, but you know, they could have just sat there. They could have been mending their fences, their nets, and he comes and he goes, follow me. Where are we going? I don't want to go there. Well, wait a minute. I don't understand your teaching. When you truly believe that Jesus Christ is God, and you believe his teachings is going to help your life be able for God to say he's well pleased with you, how serious will you listen and practice to them? And that question's for me, and that's questions for you. That's why I don't like glorification at what I do. I pray that God called me to speak. And I pray that I can explain it in a way that would bring you comfort and challenge to live the life. But we got to look at Jesus' life, because next week we're going to look at the areas of his life that we could follow in. Okay? As a church family. And this is me personally. Me personally, I feel like we've systematically, you heard me say this, so this is for all of our new, we have systematically and academically drained out fellowship. And Lone Ranger it. Because as long as you come and get the facts, you're on your own. I don't see that in Scripture. I really don't. I see it in following, in relationships. Relationships that would sit down and talk about, how can we follow Jesus this week? What are some of the things that he's trying to say in this passage? What have God said anything to you that you're working on when you spend your restful time, your quiet time with him? What are you examining? Now, if I ask those kind of questions, I think sometimes, and this is my quite honest answer, I was intimidated by people that would ask me, is there any area of your life that you found in your Bible study? Well, you know why it was so intimidating to me? Because I wasn't even Bible studying. I wasn't even opening the Word. I just came to Bible class and listened to a teacher present it. And sometimes I shied away from people who wanted to be involved with my life just asking about how am I following Jesus. When Brad Roberts asked me in Glenville, West Virginia, do you know what it means to be a disciple? I couldn't even answer that, and I'd have been a Christian for 7 years. At least I said I was. But he didn't thump me. He didn't kick me. He didn't throw any stones. He just said, well, then be a part of our group so that we can learn how to read it, to hear God, and go do it together. Really, that's simply what it's doing life together. You know, there are some people in this room that would be fun to do life with. And it's better to do Jesus' life with because you're hilarious people. I think Edie would be hilarious to spend more time with her. Really. Because she's got this, I don't know, when I went and visited her that brought her that food and everything, there's a side of Edie that I saw at home I don't get to see here. Now, it's not orneriness, because she don't have any of that, right? Why are you laughing? But she had this presence and this wisdom and this concern for her family. And when we go to each other's home and we see that, and here Miss Billy, I don't get to spend a whole lot of time with her, but when I go over to her home, she's always concerned about her sister across the street. She's always calling, asking me, have you ever been in touch with some people? Man, she's been in touch with some people that I don't get around to much. That's cool beans. You know why? She's following Christ. You know how much it would be better for her to be around other Christ followers if they came and visited her? That's why we need to go visit some of our people that are shut in. They can't come to us. Let's go to them. And then let's think about other people that we can reach out to. We'll talk about that next week. I'm going to offer up.
If you feel like you're in discipleship, or you haven't even aborted this ship, we can still learn today. God wants to accept you on. All Jesus is saying, like he says every day to other people, come follow me. If you feel like you haven't been following Christ, it does not matter. Please, I hope we can become a church that somebody might have gone to church for 30 years and they would say, I'm not even following him. I just live my own life. And that you could come and confess that. Never for self being in the back.
I mean, what's our song title, Rick? Where he leads, I will follow. All right? I pray that can be your invitation and your reaction to the passages this morning. If you want to be baptized into Christ, Mark and Pam are itching for somebody to use this baptistry, but we want you to use this baptistry to commit your life and get your sins forgiven and become a follower. And if you need to be taught that, oh, in April too. Yeah, I can't leave her out. All right? And if you want taught more about being the disciple of Jesus, we'd be glad to do that. Let's stand and sing to invite everybody.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Heed upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow.
Go ahead and be seated.
All right. Thank God again for that wonderful message that Kevin really delivered there. I think there's a lot in discipleship. And as we talked, we're going to be doing more with that with small discipling groups. And you'll be hearing more in the next couple of weeks. I keep saying that we're kind of working out the times and where they're going to be. And if you have an interest in it, again, get a hold of Kevin, get a hold of myself, get a hold of Tim. Several of them are starting to get formed up, and we'll make the announcement about those, and everyone will be invited to them and to be a part of those as well as they get a little more secure around them. But the whole idea is, how do we go through life more and more sharing it together and living it together, even as we share with others? And I just think that was a great message, and I just pray that we can take it to heart and keep just being there for each other as we help each other go through this life. A number of prayer requests that were mentioned here as well. This is one prayer request where it says, successful procedure for a kidney stone breakup, and she's very appreciative of that, and that's from Margaret Burns, so she appreciates the prayers for that. She had to deal with kidney stones there, and just thankful that that has worked out so well, and just trusting God to always work things out for good. Another prayer request here from Ann Henry. Her brother, Wayne Hedrick, he's 81, is in need of prayer. His blood has been getting low, and he's had blood transfusion of like 2 pints last week, and they're going to run more tests, but they're having problems. His blood just keeps getting low, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with him, so please keep Ann Henry and her brother, Wayne, in prayer there as well. Keep in prayer the those who've gone out to the Winterfest event. They'll be coming back today. Again, they're coming back, I think, leaving probably any time now. Should get back around 3. But it sounds like they had a great event where they were talking about if God out of Romans 8. And it sounds like it was a great event, and a lot of the teens were very touched by that. So very thankful for that as well. A number of other prayer requests in the bulletin. I'm not going to read through those, but please keep those in prayer. Particularly keep Dora McDowell in prayer. I know she's with her daughter. There's just a lot of challenges there where they've learned of a brain tumor. So if you get a chance to encourage her as well, as we've talked about, there's just so many challenges that we go through in this life. So let's try to keep encouraging and being there for each other. Okay.
Wanted to remind everybody that beginning the 28th, I believe it is, our brother, Dr. Richard Rombolt, will be leading a new class, I believe, downstairs. Is that right? on hard sayings of the Bible, and we just encourage you to come to that Wednesday night, see if you're interested in that kind of class. Any other announcements that we need to cover? If not, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for Kevin's message today, for putting the words in his mouth and the ideas in his head of what needed to be said. We know your Spirit is with him, moves him, helps him to study, Father. We just thank you for that. And I pray that it would encourage us to set aside our own time with you every day, as Amen. He said, both to spend time in your word and to spend time in prayer with you. And God, not only that, but to get together with others. We're all like-minded. We're all here for the same reason, Father. There's no reason that we shouldn't be closer together, have deeper relationships, being able to share with each other, pray together with each other, and to share what we've studied with each other, to encourage one another. Father, as he said, it's all about inward, going outward and upward to you. And Father, as we strengthen our relationship with you, we just ask that it would just help to strengthen our relationships with everybody else. Father, we just want to thank you for the sacrifice that Christ made. Yeah, he could have come to earth here and done something else, but he followed your will. He did what needed to be done. It was foretold all through centuries before. He knew what he was coming here for. As our brother Larry mentioned, this, you know, who on earth would have done that? But no, it took him to do that, as fitting, as only it should be. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your infinite wisdom. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your love with us. We thank you for understanding us. We thank you, Father, for creating us and loving us. Father, just go with us now this week. Help us this week to try to recall the things that Kevin said. And Father, just protect us, keep us safe from the evil one as we strive to be an example of Christ to everybody we meet. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand as we close out in song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, yes, this is my song. Raising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Raising my Savior all the day long.